In looking at the three lessons for today, a phrase came to my mind. And the phrase is, don't overdo it. Okay? Between the first reading out of Acts, the second reading out of Revelation, and the third reading, the gospel for today, this human phrase. Now, when have you heard the phrase, don't overdo it? Well, just some common ones that I remember, and that is when you just left the hospital and you were a patient and you're going home, right? The nurses will tell you, your family will tell you, your doctor will tell you, don't overdo it. Usually you're told to go home and rest, right? Okay. When I was teaching our daughters to drive, and they were behind the wheel for the first time, and they were putting their foot on the gas pedal, you can imagine, don't overdo it, right? You know, don't go for that fast speed and that rush and that thrill right away. Okay? Another time, if you're just starting a fitness program, what do they tell you? Don't overdo it, right? Work into it gradually. And there's other times in which you might hear that. If you're going to celebrate your birthday, your friends might tell you, don't overdo that, you know, with the wine or champagne or things like that. And so there are times in our life that does seem to be the words of wisdom, right? But when is that advice not a good thing? If you were training for the Olympics, would your coach say, don't overdo it? Right? If you were studying for the quiz bowl, would your teacher, coach, advisor say, don't study too hard. No, don't do that. Okay? Aren't there times in our life when the words of wisdom are, you try your best. You give it your all. I mean, I can't imagine an NFL team going to the Super Bowl and the commentators are going, well, I hope they don't overdo it this time. Okay? But I think the theme of the world today to the Christian is don't overdo it. Don't overdo your faith. Don't try to live it out every time in front of us. Don't try to live for Jesus. I don't want to know it. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want it flaunted in front of me. We're going to have confirmation on May 1st, the first Sunday in May, and we're going to have two students, Taryn and George, and maybe that should be my third sermon theme. Well, now that you're confirmed, don't overdo it, right? Don't show up to church every Sunday. Don't be in the Word every week. Don't pray every day. Don't overdo it. And in that sense, we would have in the church today a group of underachievers, wouldn't we? But there's a contrast to that. It's the contrast by the call of God. If you pull out your bulletin, look at the first reading. And what do we learn about Paul? Paul's not trying to flaunt it, brag about it, boast about it, point to himself about what he has done. He is simply indicating this is what God has instilled in him, called him to do, and empowered him to accomplish. Paul does not take the credit. Paul does not tell anybody else to mimic him in the exact same way, but Paul does encourage them to be faithful to the Lord their God. Paul talks about how in this lesson, he talks about how sometimes God's call is in the face of challenges, because Paul knows he doesn't know every detail, but he knows he's going to be imprisoned and he knows he will die. And so what does he do? He quits. Not really, huh? He perseveres. In the second reading, you have those who are in the heavens. You have the elders, the four creatures. You have the angels. You have, you know, those who have washed themselves in the blood of the Lamb. And what are they doing? They're singing. Can you imagine the heavenly choir director going, "Don't overdo it. Okay, get, you know, we don't need that much praise today." But instead, you have this whole heavenly host giving praise to God, not taking credit for their own journey, not patting themselves on the back, not talking about what they have done, but salvation belongs to our God. For the heavenly family, for God's flock, for God's people, the theme of "don't overdo it" is not about our lifestyle. It's not us, because Christ has done it for us. And He works it in us and through us. If we buy into "don't overdo it," we're, in a sense, saying God's not powerful enough, God is not real enough, God is not mighty enough, God is not true enough to live for Him. I must not overdo it because I have other things to live for. Do you have other things that give you life? Do you have other things that forgive your sins? Do you have other things that will bring you into heaven, where your soul will be at peace until the day of resurrection? And do you have other things that will raise your body at someday? And the answer, we have nothing else. So now we come to the gospel reading. And in the gospel is that sentence. It's there for you. People are talking to Jesus, and they're wanting to know if He's the Christ. Tell us plainly. Because they don't have faith, they cannot receive the spiritual truths. The Bible makes it clear that which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the spirit is spirit. And therefore, these people, they are stuck by their own hard-heartedness, their own stubbornness of thinking. It just does not compute. After all that Jesus has already done, and He has more yet to do, they don't get it. And Jesus says, "I told you, and you do not believe." The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. So here's the key, verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Sometimes when we read these words in English, we put the action in the sheep. The sheep have learned the voice of the shepherd. The sheep listen intentionally for the voice of the shepherd, and the sheep make a decision, a choice to follow the shepherd. And so the power is in the sheep. But you heard me tell the children, what are sheep like in reality? Do they listen? No. Do they do what they're told? No. You know? Do they get themselves in trouble? Yes. What are people like? Do they listen? Do you listen? Do you get yourself into trouble? And so, what Jesus said to the people that were asking the question It changes when He's talking to you and I, because we're believers. We know who Jesus is. He's Christ the Lord. We know He's our Messiah, our salvation, our life, our shepherd. We know this not by our own accomplishment or achievement or mental capacity or intelligence, a puzzling, solving, kind of thing. We figured it out. No, we know it by the gift of faith. And by that very gift of faith, we know the Savior's voice. Not by our own hearing physically, but by the Holy Spirit enabling us to listen and to discern. Haven't you ever said in your life, that just doesn't sound right? Because some way, somehow, you figured out what was said is a little off. And you're probably right. Well, spiritually, when the Holy Spirit is working in us and having created faith and sustaining that faith, then when all the voices around us say, this is true, this is true, this is true, this is the way, and go this way, we discern by the power of faith which voice is of God and which isn't. And when we're not certain, we have the very Word of God, which we believe by faith, the Scriptures, tells us what is really true. And so not only do we hear the voice, but by faith we read His Word. Jesus is the Word made flesh. And we hear Him speaking to us. In the 23rd Psalm, excuse me. In the 23rd Psalm, it's the Lord is my shepherd. It's very personal, isn't it? In John 3:16, when it says, God so loved the world, I hear the word, God so loved Carl. Don't you ever hear your own name? God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son. In Ephesians chapter 2 and 8, verses 8 and 9, when it says, for by grace you are saved. It's not of works. It reminds me that Carl Richard Wink has nothing to brag about, nothing to boast. Salvation is God's gift. You see, by the power of faith, we discern these truths. By the power of faith, we know our Redeemer lives. By the power of faith, we know of the resurrection. We haven't seen it yet, but we know it's true. By the power of the faith, we didn't go to the Holy Lands on that Good Friday and see the cross, but by the power of the faith, we behold the cross. And by the same faith, we behold the resurrection, that empty tomb. That's what God works in us. And so like Paul and the saints who were already in heaven in the vision of John in the book of Revelation, we have that these words say, they follow me. We are the 4-H sheep. God has tenderly cared for us, provided for us, cleaned us up again and again, right? In the forgiveness of our sins, He has brushed the dirt off, cleaned us up, had us stand, and His voice says, come, and we follow Him. We are the sheep that overdo it. We are God's people, the overachievers in the Christian world, in a world of unbelievers. We are God's people called not to just be casual about our faith, but intentional, not by our strength, but by the very calling of God. By the very power of God. The longer you live, the more you recognize, how did I get through that? How did you make it through this crisis? Some people may even have asked you. And you would say, only by the grace of God. Only with God's help. The following is by the power of God, the call of God, the equipping of God, the endurance with God. Because you know that when it says follow Him, it meant that Christ led the way. There's nothing that God asks of us that He hasn't already done through His Son, Jesus. He's washed feet. He's helped heal. You know, right? He took care of people. He fed people. He served people. There's nothing that Christ has asked us to do. To proclaim the message of the gospel, He did that. To take the mockery and the jokes and the ridicule, He stood that. There's nothing Christ asks of us. He's calling us to be overachievers, but never to overachieve Him. Never to outdo Him. We are still, like the Bible says, the student is never greater than the master, right? We're never greater than Christ, but we do show the greatness of Christ and how we live for Him, why we live for Him, and living for Him every day. Isn't it amazing how we gather as God's people, we have our sins forgiven, but I think it's dangerous that as people of God, we've bought into this don't overdo it instruction by the world. Don't pray in the restaurant. Don't thank God in your rejoicing. You know, it's out there in so many different ways, isn't it? But Paul shows us that overdoing it is exactly what we are to be doing. Each of us, in as God has equipped us, the Bible tells us not everyone is pastors, not everyone's the evangelist, not everyone's the teacher. We get that part. But we are called to do and overdo it what God has made each one of us to be, how He has equipped and gifted each one of us. We are to overdo it according to worldly standards, but we will never overdo it according to the law or God's holiness. But all we can be is God's people who are redeemed, sanctified, and alive. And in a world like ours, that's overdoing it, isn't it? To be God's people, redeemed, sanctified, and alive in Him is your opportunity to overdo it every day. Amen.